Welcome to Politics Ohio. I'm Emily McCord. Today I'm speaking with Karen Kassler. She's the State House News Bureau Chief for Ohio Public Radio. Thanks for being here.
Great to be here.
Now that Senate Bill 5 is passed, opponents are launching their efforts to repeal the law. What have they done so far, and where do they need to go to turn this into a reality?
Those who oppose Senate Bill 5 started the process by first going to the Secretary of State's office. They brought forward 1,000 signatures to start the whole process of putting this on the fall ballot. Now, from this point on, they need to gather 231,000 signatures by June 30th. Now, considering Senate Bill 5 affects about 350,000 unionized state workers and local government workers, within their own membership, they have enough signatures to put this on the ballot for the fall. But you're going to see in the next couple of days and weeks a lot of very public rallies and signature gathering events. This is going to be a long, nasty, and expensive campaign throughout the fall. Lots of money, estimated $20 million, going to be poured into this effort to repeal or keep Senate Bill 5. So this is not going away anytime soon.
When you're talking about money being poured into this campaign, both for and against Senate Bill 5, do you think that money will be coming from outside Ohio?
Oh, certainly. I think a lot of outside groups are looking at Ohio, along with Wisconsin and some of the other states, as real, you know, bellwether states, not only in the presidential campaigns, but also in these critical issues, and especially as it relates to the power and the rights of unions to collectively bargain. So I think absolutely you're going to be seeing a lot of money coming in from out of the state. And what happens in Ohio is going to be a big indicator of what happens in other Midwestern states and even perhaps throughout the country.
A study this week suggested that Senate Bill 5 will help the budget deficit. So what will the financial impact of Senate Bill 5 be?
That's a really good question, because we've been asking that for quite a while. The report out this week said it's going to save the state $191 million and save local governments more than $1 billion. But then you have Democrats who said that's a flawed study. It doesn't take into account certain things, including the costs of litigation, since Senate Bill 5 is going to go to court. But you have other groups that are saying, well, wait a minute, there are other things that could happen in terms of job losses that, you know, certainly Senate Bill 5 gives communities in the state the opportunity to do some layoffs, and there's job losses there. There's also indirect job losses when people get laid off. The economic activity in their community can drop off because they don't have the money to spend. So you have a lot of dueling numbers here, depending on the groups that are putting them forward, in terms of how much it would save the state versus how much it would cost individuals who are members of unions and who live in communities. So these are the kind of numbers, though, that we're going to have to prepare ourselves to see throughout the campaign. You will certainly have the supporters saying it saves the state money at a time that it needs to save the state money. And then you're going to have opponents that say, but it's going to cost individuals, real people, their jobs, and take money away from their families.
You spoke to two lawmakers this week that have very different takes on Governor Kasich's overall budget. So what are some of the things you're hearing there?
Well, I chose Representative Jay Hottinger, a Republican of Newark, and Representative Bob Hagan, a Democrat of Youngstown, to speak with me because they're both long-term lawmakers. They've been in the House and the Senate. They've seen a lot of budgets before, and they're both very diametrically opposed to one another. I mean, Jay Hottinger is a conservative Republican and Bob Hagan is a liberal Democrat. And it's interesting to hear the perspectives that they both have. You know, Hottinger says there are things that he likes in this budget because it's reform-oriented and it does some restructuring. And while he doesn't like all the cuts and is worried about some of the cuts to schools, for example, he says this is the right budget at the right time. Meanwhile, Hagan says he doesn't like anything in this budget. He's especially concerned about the cuts to the local government fund. He comes from an urban area that's still struggling, and he doesn't like a lot of the things that are in this budget. He would like to see more taxes on the wealthy, which Representative Hottinger says is not going to happen. In fact, Hottinger is working on the repeal of the estate tax. The really interesting part of talking to two lawmakers who are on different sides of the fence is that you're really seeing how the budget battle is going to happen, I think, in the House and the Senate. The Democrats don't like this. Republicans do. And these are their reasons. And I think it's going to really be an indicator of the kinds of debate that we're going to see in the House and the Senate when this budget finally does come to the floor.
I want to switch gears just for a moment to abortion. Peggy Lehner is a Kettering lawmaker in the Ohio Senate. She introduced another piece of legislation regarding abortion in the state. How does this compare to the heartbeat bill?
Well, this is one of several bills that deal with abortion in the State House right now, Peggy Lehner's bill. The heartbeat bill, the one you're referring to, is from Representative Lynn Watchman of Northwest Ohio. The heartbeat bill is the one that would ban abortions after a fetal heartbeat is detected, which can happen 7, 8, 9 weeks into a pregnancy. And Ohio Right to Life has chosen not to back that bill, saying that there's no chance it's going to be upheld as constitutional. Meanwhile, Peggy Lehner's bill, this is a bill that would ban abortions after a point of viability. And so a woman who is more than 20 weeks pregnant who wants to have an abortion would have to undergo tests to determine if the fetus that she's carrying is viable. And if it is, then she couldn't have an abortion under this bill. And Ohio Right to Life is supportive of this because that organization feels that there is a chance that this could be upheld as constitutional. But obviously, pro-choice activists don't like either of these bills. They don't like the ideas that are coming out of the legislature that relate to abortion and have been asking the questions, why are these the bills that lawmakers are focusing on now when there's still high unemployment and there's still budget crises issues and that sort of thing. So this bill did pass the Senate on a party line vote, 24-8. It goes over to the House where Republicans control the House. It'll most likely pass there. And the heartbeat bill is still out there, though. But there are a lot of questions about whether that one's going to come to the floor because it really is. It would be the most restrictive abortion law in the country if it did pass. And some people still, though they support it, feel that it may be too extreme.
I've been speaking with Karen Kassler from the Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau. Thanks so much for being here.
Glad to do it.